Ezekiel 3:17. It says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and for this message. God, we pray that I might be able, Lord, to, Lord, give it just the way, Lord, that you would want me to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is a special Sunday, the last day that kind of bittersweet for a pastor. And I didn't pick this. This verse, the gift of a pastor. Amen. It just come up. But it's good. The pastor is a gift. And it could be said the gifts of a pastor. They got to have the gifts. But in our lesson text today, it was the time of Ezekiel. And it was coming, drawing everything to an end for the people of Israel. Matter of fact, there's no more kings after this. Ezekiel was a prophet, but he wasn't a prophet under any king. Amen. There was going to be no more kings. I mean, Jerusalem would be built up again somewhat. And the temple rebuilt again, probably somewhat. But it would never be the same. And that's just something you find in the Bible, that when these prophets come through, you know, Jeremiah came before Ezekiel. Matter of fact, he was still in captivity with Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. But the prophet Jeremiah, he foretold of all of these things, and nobody liked him very well. And the more things change, the more they remain the same, right? But, and nonetheless, he gave them what God has given him. And Ezekiel pretty much had a negative message too. Because they thought the false prophets were saying, oh, we're going to go back to Jerusalem. They'll not destroy Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple, but they had not yet destroyed Jerusalem. So they said, don't fear. Everything's going to be fine. Be happy. You know, be happy. They're not going to destroy Jerusalem. Well, Ezekiel said they would. And guess what? They did. They destroyed Jerusalem. And they went back at a time. They rebuilt Jerusalem back up to some degree. But things were never the same. They was always had the Gentile. They was trotted about by the Gentiles all the way up until our time today. And I don't know. I know they become a nation in 1948. And that should ring a lot of bells, a lot of warning bells should have sounded, you know. Something is about to happen. And we're in a day pretty much like that. We're at the end of things. We're trying to tell everybody Jesus is coming. Trying to warn everybody. But as it was in Ezekiel's day, God told Ezekiel, he said, they're a hard-hearted people. So they're not going to listen to you, but nevertheless, you warned them. And Ezekiel, when he came on the scene, God told him to take an iron pan and put it in, and he made some demonstrations of Jerusalem. He said, put this iron pan between your face and Jerusalem. That was the face of God. He wasn't coming anymore. Amen. They had gone to the place that God wasn't coming. And then he told Ezekiel, he said, lay on your left side for 390 days. Amen. They said, lay on your right side for 90 days. Amen. He was going to bear their iniquity. They had no temple. Some say, well, this is a time of silence that God spoke about after all these things were done. Jerusalem was destroyed and the time the few went back, but it never was the same. There was supposed to have been 400 years of silence. So that could have been. But it definitely meant something because he bore their iniquity. When he laid on his side. How long did he lay during the day? Bible doesn't say, but I assume he laid 24 hours a day. That's impossible, isn't it? But all things are possible with God. So he could have very well laid on his side for all of those days. That was 430 days total. Now, if Brother Johnson was going to be here, I would have said, Brother Johnson, we're not that bad. We don't care which side you lay on first. As long as you get the days right. But if we put out an advertisement like that, you have to lay on your one side 390 days and 40. So we can't get a pastor like that. Pastors aren't infallible. They're not infallible. They got the same word that we got. Matter of fact, they're designated. They're called of God. The apostles was direct call from Jesus Christ. Even Paul, direct from Jesus Christ. He stopped him on the road that he was going on, and he fell to his face, and Jesus appeared to him and called him to be an apostle. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible where he's called anybody else like that. But we have the Spirit of God. He said when he leaves, he'll send us back a comforter, and that comforter, amen, is going to be leading us and guiding us into all truth. The comforter, the Spirit of God today. But as it was in Ezekiel's day, all a watchman can do is just tell you. He can warn you. God already told Ezekiel they're not going to listen. It'd be just like Jeremiah. He said they're not going to listen to you, but you're going to tell them anyway. And you take the northern tribe of Israel, the 10 tribes, they never came back. They're still scattered out there somewhere today. Hopefully they're going back to Israel. But they became Samaritan because they mixed their blood. And then, but the true Judah, tribe of Judah, came back to Jerusalem, amen, and that's who are supposed to be there today, is the children of Israel, because God said, I would draw them back from the four corners of the earth. He said, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, he said, I'm going to draw them back. And he did that. And now, we're in a day that we're warning the people, come to Jesus Christ before it's too late. Amen. And that's not so hard to do. But you know, for a long, long time, from 325 AD to up to where we are right now today in this last church age, there was nobody baptizing in Jesus' name. They stopped that at 325 AD. But God said, I'm coming back for a people that has made themselves ready in Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe we're the bride of Christ. You say, well, I'm not going to get that dogmatic. Well, I will. I believe it is. I believe that God is drawing people. Amen. And now he's called out a people for his name. Folks, we're the only people. We're not a very big crowd baptizing in Jesus' name. And it's the clearest prophecy in the Bible that you can find. It's the clearest. No other name was they baptized in other except in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to do it, go to all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter knew who that name was, and all the rest of them knew who that name was too. And they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is coming back for a people that has made themselves ready. Amen. Now, getting back to the gift of a pastor. Now, actually, our pastor we got coming, he's too old. He's 31. He supposed came when he was 30. According to the Bible. Amen. Joseph was 30 years old when he became the second in command to Pharaoh. The priest entered in service at age 30. Saul became the king when he was 30. David became king when he was 30. Ezekiel was called and started his ministry at age 30. And Jesus officially started at age 30. So we just liked him so well, so we went ahead and took him. But you know, we have to, pastors come with a qualification. That don't mean the rest of us don't. Amen. We all ministers of Christ, but they come with qualifications because not everybody that says that they are what they are, maybe they're not. But we have ways that we can find out. But the qualifications of a bishop, we'll find them in 1 Timothy 3:1. But I want to read something else first. Now we have an expected end. I think about the last three messages. Than expected income up. Billy had something to say about it last week. But Jeremiah 29:11 For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. You know, we're coming pretty close to that big expected end. But that's what God has, all the way through this Bible, it has been for this expected end that we're in today. Everything. You read the Bible, you'll find all of these things that's happening in the New Testament. They was prophesied in the Old, and they had this type of ceremonial thing for salvation that they put their sins a year ahead of them. Why? It was going to something. Amen. It was going to Jesus Christ, where we are today. Amen. And how did we miss it? How was it missed when it's so plain? How can we say it is without excuse? Many people will tell you when you say something, well, I want that in writing. We've got it in writing. We've got it in writing from the prophets, the very men that God called himself, that spoke through those men to be the word of God. And we've got it all in writing today. You say, well, if that prophet would have been around when here, then I might believe it. He is around. All you've got to do is read it. He's here. That prophet is here in this book. Jesus Christ is here in this book. His words are. And that's all man ever has. That's all man will ever get. But 1 Timothy 3:1. This is a true saying of a man that desires the office of a bishop. He desires a good work. Amen. I thank God for every man that will give of himself some time to be a pastor, to help oversee God's people. We have two men in here today, Brother Davis and Brother Wells. And I used to assist Brother Dixon. But the qualifications of a pastor are not too hard, I don't think. It pretty much demands that out of most of us. But only I know me and only you know you. But verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless. He must be clear of any wrongdoing. Wrongdoing can go a lot of ways. Now, when I was at church, and some preachers would get on our nerves about how they do certain things. But you know, that's your problem. You know? I mean, I used to have Papa Bluff. He'd be rattling his chains all the time. And my mind would get on his chains, the noise his chains was making. And I said, I wish he'd just stop that rattling. Why don't we put that change? Something will always come in with a pocket full of change. And he's up there just rattling. All the time he's preaching, Janie knows what I'm talking about. He'd always be rattling that. But you know, this is some things that pastors has to deal with. Our different personalities and things. Some of us think the pastor's too young. Some think he's too old. Some think he's middle-aged and we should have a younger one, or we should have an older one. Or he preaches too long. He don't preach enough. But that's just life. And guess what? Pastors have their things too. So there's a lot of things we have to look over with pastors. But when they teach you something, now, a pastor's not infallible. That's written in the Bible in one place. It said Paul came there and they teach the word of God to some people that was pretty eager. And what did they do? They went home and examined the scriptures, see if what they told them was the truth. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And I don't think as a pastor I've ever sat under a set would mind if you came with a scripture and asked for clarification. But some of the things we come with, I mean, I could have went to this brother and said, I wish you quit rattling your chains. You're just getting on my nerves. That wouldn't have went over too well. But if I could find a scripture in there that said the pastor should not rattle his chains, then I would have a legitimacy. Amen. Sometimes we could just expect too much, you know, and everybody wants their own personal pastor. Yeah. I want him to be just like me. And you want him to be just like you. And every one of us in here is different. That's why we have the Word of God to go by. If that pastor's in the Word of God, you best leave him alone. Verse 3, not given to wine. That goes without saying. He's not supposed to be a drunkard. No striker. I looked in the Webster Dictionary. It says someone that strikes on alpha a labor force. So, pastors, you can't strike. But that's not what it means. Sometimes you've got to dig a little deeper for what you get. It means not apt to inflict blows. It didn't say you didn't want to a few times. It says just don't be apt to inflict blows. Go pray about it. Not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler. Don't engage in rough and noisy quarrels. Hey, man, if someone gets too disagreeable, you can turn your back like this. Walk away. Without being real loud and quarrelsome with them. It's just a case of conduct, how we conduct ourselves. And not covetous, wanting things that don't belong to you. One that ruleth, verse 4, one that ruleth his house well, his own house having his children under subjection with all gravity. Now you can't take that word gravity in Webster's and find out what it means either. But what it really means is you have them under control with all dignity. Amen. You're not, gravity doesn't mean you can pick them up off the floor and throw them through the air, anti-gravity. But you have to be with dignity. They're not to be unruly, but yet you don't beat them into subjection where they lose their spirit. That's what I believe. Well, that's what it means and what I found out. Not the extreme case one way or the other. Verse 5, for if a man knew not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? And in verse 6, is a real important verse, and I believe. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. What it means is, not someone that is newly planted. Not someone that is not rooted and grounded in his faith and what he believes. Now, when I first came in to get to know apostolic people, I didn't have a very good experience. And Billy, I'm sure he'll remember this. We was in the Trinity Church where I got saved at, and some apostolic people come in there, and they come in. They were good people. They really, really, really good people. But after that church dissolved, they started a non-denominational church, and they picked a pastor that hadn't been in church 6 months. And this scripture explained him very, very easy. Lest he be lifted up with pride and fall into condemnation of the devil. Exactly what happened to him. Now, when I first come into the church, nobody had to tell me I wasn't qualified. I knew I wasn't qualified. I knew I had to sit down and get rid of some of them devils that I had. That's putting it bluntly, but that's right. Because I've seen times where, and I know many of you have too, I know Brother Davis has it, some comes in right out of the bars and they can't wait to get in the pulpit. They can't wait to become pastors. And they don't know how to be a pastor. They're a novice. They don't have any root. They're newly planted. And they get lifted up in their pride. Because that's all they got to teach with is their pride. They don't know the Word of God, and they can do more a lot of damage. Now, I've heard the statement made, if you sin one time, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you can throw in the towel. I had been in church about a year. I said, I might as well throw in the towel. And I said, that guy that said it might as well throw in the towel too. Because he was wrong. Amen. We grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't become a perfect man. You become perfect in Christ Jesus because he has made you perfect. He has accounted you as perfect. You are perfect in him. But we got a long way of perfecting this man. And you don't stop trying to perfect this man either. That's just a doctrine of the devil as bad as the other extreme is. Amen. We have a walk with God after we come into the knowledge of the truth. We have a walk with him. Okay, now we've seen all of these qualifications. But how do we know if these things be true and qualifies one seeking to be a bishop? He probably thinks within himself he's okay. I really can't believe that. I believe every man knows himself. So, but there's a way that we can know. And it's the only way that we can know. It's all that we can do to find out. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, moreover, or besides all this, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. If I would have come straight into the pulpit after I left, after I got out of the world, I would have had 99% of the people knew me pointing fingers and saying, he's not qualified. And they would have been right, too. And that's why we have to have people of good qualification, because the world, when they want to think they're all right, but if you're in a church, you better be perfect. That's right. You better be perfect. You better have your act together. Or if not, they'll use your one little flaw as an excuse for everything they do. They will. But it has to be of a good report, and you have to hand it to the board. They went out, they checked all of these things. They got his resume, the new pastor we're having coming, and they said they were blown away by his resume. All right. I can write you one out too. But we have to have the good report to back up that resume. And you know, and Brother Wells, he come with a good resume. He was good. He was counted good, and he did good. Amen. We wish he could stay longer, but hey, that's he knows what God ain't done with him. If he thinks he is, he's wrong. God has a plan for him. But this is why that we do the things the way we do. And back in those days, they did it pretty much the way we did it today. Now, they went out and they appointed pastors and or elders and bishops. And how did they do that? Same way we did it. They checked it, and they asked the people. Is he a good report? Tell us about him. And that's how they picked him. And we do the same way. We had a presbyter come and make sure all of these things were done according to our bylaws. And that's all we can do. And I'm encouraged. I can't understand why anybody won't be a pastor. Because I assisted one. And I know most of these things that comes against them. That's the reason that we need, if you got something, go to them. I think they want you to. But if you don't want to go to them, don't go to everybody else. That's where the problems begin. Acts 16:1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. And verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren. They do it the same old way. Some things never wear out. Some things don't never become old-fashioned. It's just the way we do. People, when they hire somebody, they try to get as much information as they can get. And Jesus Christ, he was perfect, yet they doubted him. Verse 3 of Acts 16, him would Paul have to go with him, calling his reputation was already there. I didn't write it all down, but you see it up here. Him would Paul have to go forth with him and circumcise him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now there was another place where Paul said, no, you don't have to circumcise. How come he had to be circumcised? Because he had Jewish heritage. And he did that because the Jews would not receive him. And they had biblical grounds where they didn't have to receive him. So that's the reason Paul said he did that, to be received of the Jews, so he wouldn't cause a big roar amongst the Jewish people. And verse 4, and they went through the cities. They delivered them decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. They gave them decrees. What are those? Decisions laid down by the apostles. How you conduct these matters, how you do them. Amen. He said, they had it wrote down. They said, here's the qualification. You do this, 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 this. And you go through all of those steps. Then they would appoint the pastor or the elder or the bishop. The bishop, they called them, but they were pastors. And verse 5 said, and so was the church established in faith. That's how our church has to be established, in faith, means in truth. It has to be established according to the Word of God. Something that is as important as baptism, why would it have ever been changed? That's the very foundation of salvation. To repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, I know a lot of Trinity people got the Holy Ghost. I don't know. To be honest, you probably don't either. But I know what the Bible says. And that's what I'll stake my claim on. That's where I'll drive my stake. This is where I put my claim. This is what I believe. And why is that? Because what I believe, for the simple reason that the Bible says it. But see, back in Paul's day, he was one man. He was like Moses. Remember, Moses, one man. And I think it was his father-in-law come to him and he said, you need to divide this work up. You put people in charge of tens and hundreds. He said, you need to put all of these people in groups, and when they got a problem they can't solve, then they come to you. So that's pretty much what Apostle Paul did. They was all in groups, so he put people overseer on them. He gave them the fivefold ministry. You got some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, and some pastors. That's what we have in church. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. We are to teach God's word. Now, when we teach God's word, that don't mean that we're perfect. I'm striving just like you are. But I'm not going to say it different than what it says. If it's old me or if it's old you, I still have to put it down like God says for it to be put down. You know why? Because it's of no private interpretation. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. For what? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to unity of the faith. That's one thing you can say about the world. We're all unionized, aren't we? You got Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, blah, blah, blah. I can go on and on and on. And then you got the Muslim and all these different. That's why. Right there is the reason why. You stay as close to the Word of God, especially the plan of salvation, as you can get. And I believe we come to a time that it's very hard to be a pastor. And it's very they're trying to stay in the middle of the extremes. You got one extreme that says you're preaching it too hard, easy or too hard. You got another extreme going to easy or hard. He's got to find a place that will work and that he don't run everybody off. Because I've been taught long enough to know that I've taught two or three people or this many. Amen. So it's a lot more fun to teach somebody you got if there's somebody out there to listen to it. Oh, my time's up. But I thank God for each pastor. But I'll give you a word of warning about what the Bible said about. Now, we had false prophets back then, and the Bible warned us we'll have them today. Ezekiel 13:1, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Then verse 2, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophecy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. They prophesy out of their own hearts. Folks, that's all over the world today. Let's stay with the word of God, especially where the plan of salvation comes. That's where I drive my stake. I don't go around that. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Now, New Testament, 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of private interpretation. We can't change it, we can't add to it, we can't take away from it. It is as it is. Some people say, oh, well, I'm an atheist. You know, that makes about as much sense as arguing with your mother that you was never born. You didn't get here until she gave you birth. And we didn't get here until God created us. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope I